Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number one. I'm Jim Galante, along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. Dustin, y'all ready to talk some Penn State football today?
Yeah, I think it was nice. It was difficult following along if you weren't at Beaver Stadium, but at least we had some things to try to check out. You know, it's not just our own voices we're hearing now. We're actually seeing a little bit of actual football, which is nice. It's always nice this time of year.
It is very nice, and that's what we're going to cover. So this is a special edition of the show. I'm calling it our not the blue-white game and not the last practice, but the 12th practice scrimmage edition of our show. How's that?
It's got a really nice ring to it. Just kind of rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
It surely does. It surely does. Let's start with this, Dusty. An overall question. What did you think of them having a non-televised scrimmage as opposed to the traditional blue-white game?
I didn't really understand the lack of audio, video. There was audio, I guess, but the lack of video coverage of it. They put out some highlights, which, you know, I was able to check out. There were some pictures, obviously, from photographers. There were firsthand accounts that you're able to follow along with. But I didn't really understand the strategy necessarily of, and maybe it was just, you know, this was a, from an operations standpoint, it was a first run at this with restrictions and not wanting to send the wrong message. Maybe if there is bad behavior from the first year students in terms of not wearing masks or distancing themselves or whatever, maybe they didn't want that. They wanted to kind of take control of that video component. That's the only thing I can think of. There's no secrets when it comes to football. They're still not showing anything. They're still showing some video of the actual football play. So I don't think it was protecting anything like that. I think it was more, this was a dry run for what's maybe to come.
I think you're being too generous. I'm upset about it. Okay. I don't understand it at all. You know, the fans are the ones who foot the bill. They're the ones who make this happen. They're the ones who pay James Franklin $7 million. Come on, James. Could you just throw the fans a bone? Do the blue-white game. All right, I understand if you don't want to have a full crowd in there for safety reasons. Give us the scrimmage, give us the blue-white game, and put it on TV. How tough is that? They're doing it at Ohio State. They're doing it at Alabama. They're doing it at Clemson. That's where we want to be, right? We want to be one of those elite teams. Well, guess what? The elite
That's what winners do.
Are doing it.
Yeah, I get it. It was, you know, for me, it was just an annoyance more than anything. I'm trying to figure out what people are seeing, and I'm trying to read words and hear what James Franklin's saying. It was hard to kind of put all the puzzle pieces together based off of limited, you know, I like to try to see this stuff for my own right. So, I mean, we're basically left to, you know, talk about what the talking points were from that. And we'll do that for a whole show, and it'll be great. And, you know, we did see some video elements, but, you know, we're having to use our imaginations more than I would like, for sure.
And you're putting that from a media standpoint, and I get it. This is your job to cover the team, and it's tougher to cover the team this way. But I'm looking at it from a fan's perspective. I think the Penn State fans have every right in the world to be upset by this. It's not asking too much. Like I said, a whole lot of other schools are doing it. Why can't Penn State? I don't get it at all. All right, that's the end of my... Well, go ahead if you have a continuation of my rant.
I think in this situation, if you're going to do something like that, I think some kind of public explanation as to, like, hey, this is what we're doing, this is why we're doing it. And Penn State just comes up short on that communication standpoint. If you're going to have a decision to make, I mean, give a rationale for why nobody can see or follow along with this thing, or why there can be no video shared from media members. You know, like, tell us why, and maybe people will get it, but at least you can be forthcoming about why this is happening.
The other part to this, Dustin, is you know, had some conjecture as to why they're doing it this way. Is this some kind of test run, this or that or the other thing? Let me give you another theory, okay? They screwed up, okay? I'm going to shift to they made this game open only to the freshmen to attend. Everyone then says, wait a minute, how about the seniors? They lost their senior year. They're never going to get this opportunity again as a student. Apparently, someone goes, oh, yeah, I didn't think of that. I'll tell you what, let's do another scrimmage like this next Friday and let the seniors in. If the sophomores and juniors start complaining, how come not them? Are we going to have a third scrimmage the following Friday? Dustin, I don't get it.
I think there was some of that, without a doubt. And I did see, call it a conspiracy theory, call it what you will, but the idea of opening up and bringing fans back in for the first time in really what amounts to a couple years, and doing it with a group of students who they're not able to legally drink. You know, like the ability to have some control over what that faction is. And you're able to, you know, the public explanation for that one never really, you know, carried water in the first place. But at least there was an explanation. And I do think that the outrage kind of prompted them to do some more. And now you bring the seniors in. I don't think the sophomores or juniors are getting their turn this spring, but it was kind of silly to me to be like, hey, you kids with three more years to do this, you didn't get a chance last year, so let's make sure you get a shot now. Where the seniors were obviously, they're you know, most of those kids are graduating next month. Give them a shot to have one last hurrah at Beaver Stadium. They're not going to get the real deal in the fall.
Exactly. Let's put it this way. I think they bungled the whole thing. They screwed it up. They made mistakes. And if your theory is correct that it was the alcohol thing, I think you're correct, because absolutely no Penn State student has ever had a drink while they're underage. Ever. That's never happened.
It's impossible to access alcohol if you're not 21. How are you gonna purchase it?
Exactly. All right, Dustin, enough of my ranting. Let's move on to actual football news. And let's start with this. All spring, James Franklin and the rest of the coaching staff has been raving about incoming freshman, early entry, Kalen King, the cornerback, came in from Michigan. I guess they weren't fibbing to us, were they?
No, this was not conjecture. This was not hyperbole. And I know spring practice only means so much, but, you know, to see him physically put those pieces together and for it to be beyond just, hey, he's a really mature college-ready freshman to that now, even after the game, James Franklin saying he is a playmaker. He's got ball skills. He's getting bigger. He's getting faster. To hear not just the he's a mature freshman, he's ready, and now you see it in motion. I mean, all the elements are coming together now, and it's going to be hard to not have fans excited. And I think James Franklin and the staff, they kind of knew exactly what they were doing. They knew or had a belief that Kalen King can handle if there's a build up to him. He can handle if there's some expectations and stuff like that. So I think, you know, he backed that up. And, you know, to me, that's maybe the number one storyline that came from this is that, okay, this kid is the real deal.
And some of the quotes I liked, and I'm paraphrasing, it sounded pretty much like James Franklin was saying, not only does he find the ball, but the ball seems to find him.
Yeah, I think it's a funny phrase, and it's hard to really wrap your head around that, but there are just certain guys who are a magnet for the football for whatever reason. Their presence, it just finds them. Just like in baseball, if you're the kid who's in the ninth inning, you didn't play all game, your left fielder gets hurt, you're hoping and praying and crossing your fingers that nobody hits the ball to you. Obviously, everybody's going to hit the ball to you. It's the weird world of sports, and you don't really always have an explanation for it, but I think there's something to that with Kalen King.
Well, if you're going to use the baseball analogy, I prefer to use the one with the more positive spin. It's like, how did the ball always find Joe DiMaggio's glove without him having to dive? How did that work?
Fair.
And That's what I think it is with Kalen King. He just seems to be the guy who understands the game and is the ball does find him. But one of the repercussions to this, Dustin, was let's connect this to the other news, which is Marquise Wilson, another cornerback. It appears that he's shifting to wide receiver, and I don't think it's a coincidence that you have Kalen King stepping up and being capable at cornerback, and you have another cornerback changing positions.
Yeah, no, and Johnny Dixon in there, and both of those guys were mentioned by names as affording the coaching staff the opportunity to do this. It's interesting. I mean, Marquise Wilson was the best candidate to maybe try to be a two-way type player. James Franklin talking about needing another playmaker at the wide receiver spot. But it's hard for me to get to a place where I'm not thinking, okay, if there's a kid who has two very different positions, does he have zero positions at this point? You know, I need to see more of this. He's a week into this transition, and maybe his ball skills and which are absolutely legitimate, maybe they make him a real contender at wide receiver. Maybe is this a testament to what they do or don't have depth wise at wide receiver, or is it just Marquise Wilson being able to handle this and now having the depth to be able to actually explore it? It's something they said that they were talking about him with since the recruiting process.
And let's face it, most of these players, when they're coming out of high school, if they're a wide receiver, they're probably also a defensive back and vice versa, of course. But you've got a situation, we've talked about this before, there's a lot of people in this cornerback room, and you're adding Johnny Dixon to it. So it's Keaton Ellis and Joey Porter and Tariq Castro Fields and Johnny Dixon and Daquan Hardy. That's a pretty full room.
It is, and it's a great thing to have, but it does require you as coaches to say, okay, where are we not going to utilize talented players as we should? Where is talent possibly going to waste if we have an abundance of depth? There is such a thing as having too much depth. Sometimes you need to tap into it, but oftentimes it's like this where, okay, we need to make sure we are able to use Marquise Wilson. And for him, you know, not all cornerbacks, not all DBs have the ability to actually catch the ball. Sometimes that's why they're DBs and not wide receivers. Marquise Wilson was a kid who came in with really good ball skills and looked like a wide receiver playing cornerback. I give him a shot to be able to kind of see the field as a wide receiver as well.
I think so also, even if it's just depth there where they don't need that kind of depth at cornerback because they already have it there. Dustin, that's just one quarter of the conversation about the game, the scrimmage, the blue-white game, whatever it was. We're going to continue talking about it in quarter number two. Stay tuned.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.